If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast.
Okay, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. If you've repented and you've been baptized and you've received the Holy Spirit and you're speaking in tongues, then you're fit for the battle, ready to warfare against the enemy. And we're going to go through a few scriptures about what we call spiritual warfare, because when you are recruited into the kingdom of heaven, you fight a warfare against the enemy, which is the kingdom of darkness, which is headed up by Satan and all his cohorts. And really, the battle is in the mind. Satan is powerful, and he's to be respected, but not to fear, because we are Christ now, and he has won the battle over Satan, and his authority is above everything in the universe. The Bible says that his name is above all names. Every knee must bow. Every name must fall into line with the name of Jesus Christ. And his blood is powerful. We'll talk about the blood later, but the blood of Jesus Christ is the most powerful agent in the universe. And his name is the authority of all authorities. And everything must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Every name that is named. Every name. That's sickness, cancer, leukemia, depression, bipolar, arthritis, pain, suffering, torment, fear. Every knee must bow. Every knee must bow. Every name that is named must bow. Now, sickness doesn't have a knee, but it is the position that it has to take in the kingdom of God. It has to bow. When you use with the authority that you have, when you say cancer, you go. It goes. When you say pain, go in the name of Jesus. It goes. When you use the name of Jesus with the authority that you have, with the belief that you have, then every name must bow its knee to the authority of God. And you are the authority of God on this earth. You are his ambassador on this earth. You represent the kingdom of God. So when you go out into the darkness of life, and you say, let there be light, then light is. It has to happen. However, there are a lot of Christians going around who don't know what they've got, and they're so bound up still with sin that they are unable to operate as a son of the living God. They are unable to operate in the position that they have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ to operate in. And really, the ministry that Jesus has given me is to set the captives free through the word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. That is what he has called me to do. So I arm myself with the sword of the Spirit, and I go out into the darkness, and I say, cancer, you go. And cancer goes. It might not go straight away, but I'll keep going at it, and it will bow its knee. That's how it works. So if you've got Jesus Christ living inside of you and you're the son of the living God, then you're on the winning team and you will never ever fail, providing you don't let the enemy receive a foothold in your life. And he does that through a lot of different means. We'll be talking about that as well. But predominantly, he gets a foothold in your mind and he causes you to believe a lie, wherefore leading you into a whole lot of error, a whole lot of traps, and getting you to do things that are not convenient for you. That's the enemy's tactics. By getting you to do those things, you slip further and further out of the will of God, and you're unable to hear him, and you get lost in the darkness. That's his way of defeating you and taking you prey. So we'll go through some scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says here, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world," or the way of this world, "according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened," or made alive, "us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So as Christ was risen up by the Holy Spirit after he was dead, he spent 3 days in hell for our sins. He paid the price for us. He took the hit for us. And he spent 3 days in hell for us. And Christ, and God the Father said, "That's enough. He's paid the price." Said to the Holy Spirit, "Go get him." And the Bible says that he used one hand, to pull him out of hell and back into life, and raised him to be seated in heavenly places, and to take a name above all names, and to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee must bow before him, Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 6, "And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's what he's done for us. He's made us more than victorious. He's made us more than powerful. He's made us the head and not the tail. And we'll just go to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It says here, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, or the ways of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers." All principality and powers. Remember that. He is the head of all principality and powers, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we have been raised up with him. In verse 11 it says, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin," not the body of the sin, of the flesh, "by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances." That's the little bits of information that are written down of the things that you've done. He has blotted it all out in heaven. "Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." So all of the bad things that you've done, he nailed all of that list to the cross. And when Christ died, He took that list with him. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphantly over them in it. So Christ, you know, the devil thought he had him in hell. You know, he wasn't having a little tea party in hell. He wasn't just sitting around for 3 days just waiting for time to pass. He suffered what you would suffer when you go to hell. But you don't have to go to hell anymore because you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And now you are more than victorious because he won everything. He won the battle. And now he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you sit with him, beside him, inside of him. He lives inside of you, and his righteousness covers you. So his standing in heaven is yours. We'll never be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has that office, and that office is for him alone. But we are in the standing whereas we've come unto the Father fully forgiven, and we have open arms. The Father has open arms towards us, and he only wants to give us good things. It's only through our rebelliousness and our inability to hear God and the trickery of the enemy to get us to be rebellious is where we fall over. So we'll go to James. Okay, James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw to God, and he will draw unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. That's what happens to us when we start listening to the enemy. Our hands become dirty, and our heart, we need to cleanse our heart. So what comes into our heart, what we meditate on, what we think about, what we consider, those are the things that we are going to bring into our heart, and they're going to be a part of us and our thinking. They are the things that are going to determine whether we are victorious or we lose. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. So you guard your heart and you'll live a happy life. We just might go to, we'll go to 1 Peter 5:6, and it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But that God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's what the Lord wants to do. When you come along and you've been baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost, then the Lord starts establishing you in his ways. And he starts organizing you so that you can work for him. But what he does is, we'll just go to 2 Corinthians. Okay, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So, though we've been baptized and we are dead to the old way, we still have our flesh. But our flesh in us is positionally dead. So our flesh is counted as dead. The life of the flesh is counted as dead. And we no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh in our life. Okay, and it says in 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, strongholds are the things that you establish in your mind that are true or false. They're the things that you believe in. They're the things that you trust in. They're the things that you have your strength in. They're the things that you've searched out and said, well, this is to be true. Fears and strengths are strongholds. Now, anything that is against God, any thought that is against God is a stronghold for the enemy. And any thought that you have that is for God is a stronghold for the enemy. It is a stronghold for God, and the enemy can't touch because it is a stronghold. And you are to develop in your mind strongholds of God so that the enemy can't touch you. But first, the Lord has to untangle all of those strongholds that you have in your mind when you come along to Him and you get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't automatically wake up the next day with your mind totally washed clean. Your spirit's clean, but your mind still has a lot of work to do. So God starts untangling all of those strongholds, taking them apart bit by bit. And the Holy Ghost, that is His job to do that. So He searches your heart and He sees the strongholds that are in you, and He takes one at a time and destroys them down, and He replaces them with the wisdom and the understanding of God, the mind of Christ. And He plants wisdom and revelation inside of you that you're able to know and walk in His ways. And the devil tries to hang on to those strongholds through the flesh. So if you've got smoking or drinking problems, he'll try to hang on to them through that. But God will replace those strongholds with peace and joy, and those strongholds will fall in your life. And it says, we'll read it again in 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that's what the Holy Spirit's job is, to pull down and bring into captivity, and every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Jesus Christ, and to renew your mind. He does that through revelation. When you pray in tongues, you're creating revelation inside you, new truths. And you replace those new found truths with the lies that the devil has put inside you over the years. All of those things are the values that you've held to so dearly. People you like, the things you like, the things that you don't like, the things that you hold dear to yourself, the things that repulse you. The Lord, He replaces all of those things with the proper truth. Now, He doesn't take all of them. Some of the things that you believe in are true. For instance, food's good, but excess is no good. Smoking is good, but in the Lord, smoking is no good, because smoking causes cancer. Getting drunk is no good. It causes all sorts of trouble in your life. So God replaces that, and he takes that addiction of the flesh, and he releases you from the addiction, and then He works on your mind, and you no longer have a desire to drink alcohol. And it's all done by the Holy Spirit and not by your effort or by your strength. There's a scripture that says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, this mountain shall be removed. So the Lord removes the mountains in your life by the power of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost reveals these mountains in your life, and then you say yes, and then the Holy Spirit goes to work and takes that mountain apart piece by piece. and demolishes it. But it is up to you, is your will, because the Holy Spirit will never work against your will. So you have to bring your will into line with the thinking of God. And when you do, you'll be blessed. Okay, so we'll just go to Ephesians. Okay, we'll go to Ephesians chapter... Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now that word wiles in the Greek, it means deceit, craftiness, trickery, methods, lies, and the never-ending drip, 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 the penetration of the devil. Like water running onto a rock over and over, thousands of years, makes a big hole. Well, the devil doesn't sleep. He doesn't get tired. So he continually tap you on the shoulder. But when you put the armor on, then he has no effect on you. So it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word devil is diablo, and it means slanderer or false accuser or opposer. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the helmet of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So it's telling you to pray in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So pray for everybody else as well. So this is what we do. We put on the armor of God. Now you don't put it on physically. By praying in tongues, you put it on. By praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit dismantles all of those things that the enemy has to come against you and puts fortification over your life. So the things that the Holy Spirit does for you, now if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it lists the operation of the spirits, of the spiritual gifts. It says, now brethren, concerning the spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Or it says, now, brethren, concerning the spirituals or the spiritual realm, I would not have you ignorant. And it goes on to explain how to operate these gifts or these attributes that the Holy Spirit has. And the Holy Spirit utilizes them on your behalf. And the first one is the word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit gives you a word of wisdom. The second is the word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit will give you knowledge. Knowledge of a particular thing, a situation. And the word of faith, the Holy Spirit will give you faith. When something happens to you in a moment of time and you need faith, the Holy Spirit can step in and increase your faith. The gift of healing, if you need healing, the Holy Spirit can give you this gift in a moment of time, this gift of healing. The working of miracles, prophecy, and then there's discerning of spirits, being able to see into the spiritual realm, and see what is happening around you. Diverse kinds of tongues. That's different kinds of speaking in tongues. And they all have their own purpose. Then there's intercession interpretation of tongues. Right, so there's nine gifts. There's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gift of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So you'll find that God has given you these attributes in the spiritual realm to combat the work of the enemy. So you'll find that if you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will equip you with these gifts. And according to your walk in the Lord and what God has called you to, He will give you a mix of these gifts to operate in that office. For instance, if you've called to be an apostle or a prophet or a teacher, He will give you certain gifts to operate in that office. If you're called for miracles or gifts of healing, He'll give you other gifts to operate in that calling. For helps in governments, He'll give you a mixture of gifts so you can operate in that realm. And then there's a diversity of tongues. He'll give you different types of tongues. Diversity of tongues, that is a ministry, that is really an intercession ministry where you pray on behalf of other saints or other situations in other people's lives or in your life. And that is a full ministry. So we'll just leave it there. And what we will do is we will cover later in great detail every aspect of all of these gifts and how the enemy works and how the enemy attacks you and how to combat every step of the way of the enemy's work and to pull it all down so that it has no value or no power in your life at all. So we'll leave that there.
So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.